Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What if it doesn't work?
Then we all go down. Because there's no way Faye ever believes all of us weren't part of it.
What about Mag and Samantha? Did you run this by them yet?
I have. They're in.
Well, then I'm in too. Then I can get us the last person we need.
Not the last person, Lewis. You heard the plan. There's one more and Alex is making that happen. But if this thing goes south, the firm is done. So I'm putting this to a formal vote.
I already said I'm in.
As far as I'm concerned, this should have been done months ago.
Then it's settled.
One more thing.
We're all that's left at Pearson Hardman.
If this turns out to be the end, I want you both to know there's no one I'd rather have by my side than you.
Suits Season 9, Episode 10 is over. And if you're ready to hear us talk about one last con, then Suits yourself. I'm Rob Sestrino back here. With a guy for one last pod, it's Chappelle.
We did it.
We did it.
It's over.
100.
It happened.
And 34 episodes later, the Suits finale.
Yes. Rob, man, it feels like just yesterday we started this podcast with nothing but Netflix and the idea, the crazy idea of doing a daily Suits podcast covering over 100 episodes of Suits in just, what, 3 months?
Would anybody remember if we re-quoted all of our lines from the first Suits Yourself episode?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to go back and re-listen to it to see what our hottest takes were from episode one. But I'm sure this episode looks a lot more like different than the first season of Suits did. I'm sure the podcast does as well.
Maybe it sounds a little bit different. It probably doesn't look as different as season one of Suits looks from season nine of Suits.
Yeah, we got a little flashback in this episode of some of the greatest hits from Suits. Yeah. Everything from I Live Up Here to Up Here and, you know, Mike Ross and his lying and the briefcase full of weed. We had a lot of opinions about stuff back then.
Pointed at people's heads and everything.
And we don't do any of that stuff anymore here on Suits. And I guess it's time to say goodbye to all of the past bits, all of our greatest hits here on Suits Yourself. And, you know, to all the finest moments of all the Suits associates and partners and the entire cast here on Suits.
Well, we appreciate everybody who's been with us on this journey that we started at the end of August of 2023. But we still have a wild finale of Suits to break down here today.
We do. And I guess I'll start with Rob. When it comes to this finale, knowing everything that we know now, knowing the journey we took from episode one all the way to episode 100 and a billion, what did you think about the finale? Do you think they stuck the landing?
Finales are hard
For sure.
Finales are hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't think this was a bad finale as finales go. That being said, though, I do feel like a lot of things just kind of like, wait, what? What?
Yeah, I think this was a good finale of this season. I don't know if it was a good finale of the entire series.
Yeah.
You know, like it felt like this put this season to an end. And if you wanted to have another season, you could. But it didn't feel like we closed the book on Suits as a whole. I think that Suits as a whole has just gradually closed different books throughout. And then we finally got to this like addendum at the end where it's like, oh, okay, well, we've added this little extra piece on for season 9. How do y'all feel about it? You know, and then like, okay, now we can end season 9 where it feels like a complete story for these people. Cause these are not the same partners or cast that we started off with for the most part.
It feels to me like this was like the end of Suits, the TV show. And so we sort of like forced things in some like unnatural ways to make it work for the finale of the TV show. But like, I did not really buy that Harvey and Donna would drop everything and go move to Seattle to go work for Mike at the new Seattle clinic. Harvey,
the clinic.
Who has more money than anybody, like, mm-hmm. Harvey could open his own clinic. Like, if he really want, like, is it just the bromance with Mike? Like Harvey could put Mike's clinic out of business and open up his own thing in New York City. Harvey did not need to move... Harvey does not seem like a Seattle guy.
Well, we do know he loves his briefcase full of weed and his coffee stand. So maybe that's part of the appeal. Mm-hmm. I've definitely thought about it myself.
They have both.
But no, yeah. I think that throughout this last season and even pieces of the season prior, they've been sprinkling things in like, Harvey should be working for the good guys. Harvey is not really the corporate guy that he's led himself to be this entire time. He likes playing in the gray area, but when Mike does it, it just feels good when Mike does it. You know, he's tugging on your heartstrings. He's playing his tiny violin, and he can stand by all of the unorthodox decisions that he makes, all the lines that he crosses. And Harvey wants to be able to do that too. And the best way he can do that is to learn from the guy, I guess, who taught him to have a heart and to care less about winning and more about winning for the right causes. And that's Mike Ross. And so I think that the show doesn't hit that note hard enough. I think that that being like the overall tale of Harvey Specter is that, no, I want to cross lines. I want to break the rules. I just want to break them, you know, with my bestie and for good. I think that that's not like something that is a complete through line throughout the series. I think that's something that we kind of just made happen a little bit. We kind of just pushed that and pigeonholed it into different conversations. And now we end up with this.
I thought Donna and Harvey literally getting married at Lewis's abandoned wedding. I thought they could have just got engaged. Like, I didn't think that we needed to have the actual get they're actually like their wedding in front of Lewis and Sheila's friends and family.
Yeah, it is odd that these are not people.
Like, a lot of people stuck around to watch two people they never met before get married.
You know, when people get engaged and the guy gets on one knee or whatever the case may be, and then the people around always, oh my God, there's a proposal going on. Nobody reacted. They're like, who's that guy? Why is he on the ground? Like, even Mike Ross was kind of sitting there like, oh, I guess y'all are just going to propose, huh? And then they stand up and say, hey, y'all, me and Donna are going to get married. And it's just like, oh, okay, that's good. Right. Nobody was like, finally, like, you did it.
A lot of Lewis and Sheila's closest friends and family did not really seem to be like too invested in Sheila going into life-saving surgery that day.
Right. They didn't really know. They swept her away very quickly. Of course, Lewis and Sheila having this this wedding very close to the due date. Odd decision. You know, we've been talking about Sheila's pregnancy and how it's fluctuated. The timeline has fluctuated a few times, but you couldn't do this a month earlier.
I think we did call the baby being born at the wedding.
We also called the proposal at the wedding. Yeah. I think we were throwing stuff at the wall, but we knew they had so much to do in the last, you know, few episodes. But yeah, this being like, okay, so Lewis eventually does say that him and Sheila were supposed to be on a helicopter to the Hamptons. I'm like, but she was that pregnant to where you was going to risk that, you know, like you brought the ambulance to the wedding because you knew she could pop any day, any minute now.
Right.
But you still planned a honeymoon as if, were you going to like life flight her out of the Hamptons back to the hospital.
The helicopter was going to stand by the whole weekend. Yeah, I don't know. Can you have an ambulance on standby?
Can you have a helicopter with a pregnant woman in it? I thought after a certain, duration of a pregnancy, pregnant women aren't allowed to fly. I know, at least in planes. I don't know if helicopters are different, but it all felt very convenient, I guess, for someone like Lewis, who really could have picked a different due date. I mean, not due date, but a different wedding date. Push it up.
All right, this is a weird thing. Okay, maybe this only annoyed me. Okay, but the finale was a fine finale. Katrina's a name partner now?
Okay, she earned it. I'll give her that.
For what?
She earned it.
For what?
Because these people got this woman committing fraud and extortion against the bar association. I guess so,
like her mentor. That's how she got her name on the door.
Everybody else here has. When it came to Katrina got fired by Faye for trying to be a part of this family for the day.
We never saw Harvey apologize to her. It really could have just been an apology from Harvey, and I think she would have been fine. She was already the youngest senior partner in the history of the company. That we'd put her name, honestly, this is why it makes no sense to put Katrina's name on the door. I did not even know what Katrina's last name was. They said we're putting her name up there, and I'm like, I have no idea what Katrina's last name is.
You didn't know what the new name of the firm was going to be. You're like, okay, so.
Yeah.
Lit Williams Wheeler Katrina?
Also, is Katrina just a good actress? Because how did she not know that they were putting her name on the door after she came up the elevator and walked past her name already on the wall?
She took the stairs. Rob, stop it. Stop it. Katrina deserved this. She was trying to get her steps in, so she came up the stairs as she does every day. She never takes the elevator. We've never seen Katrina on the elevator. Mm-hmm. And so she missed the fact that her name was on the wall now, you know? Katrina, I think she earned this moment just when this whole plot to get Faye out of here.
They just made her senior partner. They did not have to make Katrina name partner.
Listen, when she goes and she has to put her morals to the side, because Katrina's the last one holding on to any ethics here, okay? And she goes to Faye, and she's like, Faye, I'm sorry, I'm in on the extortion plot. If you put Harvey on the stand, I'm going to do something illegal, okay? I'm going to make it sound like you were pressuring me, you fired me without cause, and you fired Samantha without cause. You're going down. So she took a big old swing here, and it pays off. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have a firm anymore if it wasn't for Katrina. Honestly, I don't think you can not make Katrina name partner, because if I'm Katrina and you hire me back, don't talk to me. I'm in charge. There is no firm without me. I did this. You're lucky. Don't come in here, Alex, telling me what you want me to do, what cases to drop. There is no case without me.
The
I'm
whole
Katrina.
Reason we got in this mess is because we put every single person's name on the wall. Like, we didn't need to put Katrina's name on the wall. Like, the reason you put people's names on the wall is because it's like, oh, I want to work with those people. Like, you already have Samantha, who's on the wall, who nobody even knows who she is. And now it's like, wait, who's Bennett? Who's, people are going to be like, what?
No, listen to me. Who was the last person whose name got on the wall because someone wanted to work with them? Everybody whose name on the wall is up there by like some underhanded measure. Lewis, backstabs the entire firm to get his name on the wall. Harvey backstabbed Daniel Harper to get his name on the wall. Samantha backstabs everybody. Alex backstabs everybody to get his name on the wall. None of these people have just been hired off of merit. Not one of them. So Katrina is amongst her friends. These are her peers. This is the only place she could ever work because these people get her. She was raised by a bunch of frauds and backstabbing, conniving lawyers. And they finally put her name on the wall because she's one of them. Everybody else below them, they just don't have what it takes. The next person who gets their name on the wall will probably be Susan because she'd already tried to backstab Katrina. Listen, there's a direct pipeline between like fraud, extortion, backstabbing to being a name partner at this law firm.
What's Donna going to do for Mike?
Be a secretary.
Is she going to be the COO of Mike's nonprofit?
What? Donna?
Does Donna know there's a pay cut involved with this move?
Oh, ain't no pay cut. Harvey has been giving Donna billions of dollars for decades at this point, and now they're married. Donna might not ever work another day in her life. Mm-hmm. If she's smart, Donna goes home to Seattle and just starts her own little business. Starts like a nonprofit or something like that.
I mean, she could take the Donna up to Microsoft while she's there.
I about to say at this point, she could probably buy it back, you know, mm-hmm. with the money she has. Yeah, I don't know why Donna goes to Seattle. Like, I get why Harvey would go, and I know they're married. I get it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've never heard Donna even express any, like oh, I miss Rachel that much to where I want to be around her. Like, yeah.
All right, well, let's talk through this. And we got a lot of feedback to get to also. But let's just talk through this episode in sort of like a little bit of the order that it happened. Probably the first third of the episode was still dealing with the Faye business, which really was getting so confusing and convoluted at the point where Faye is going to put Harvey up on the stand because this is Faye's reputation on the line, Chappelle. We can't have there be any shadow of a doubt that Faye is beyond reproach.
So we did talk about this last episode. I said, I don't know why there's so much to do about this when all Faye has to do is put Harvey on the stand and ask him point blank, did Samantha do this, yes or no? And if Harvey's not willing to perjure himself, which they're normally not, then this should be an open and shut case. Now, Harvey is actually toying with perjuring himself because he just hates Faye that much and mm-hmm. he wants to save Samantha. But yeah, she finally tells him, why are we doing all of this? All this back and forth, you're trying not to make Samantha look bad. You're trying not to say, you're trying not to get Samantha in trouble for fabricating this. And we won't have to prove that she did anything. But if it gets to that point where it looks like you're trying to back out of this or you're trying to do something underhanded, I'm gonna just put you on the stand myself. And I'm thinking, Faye, can you do that? Are you, first of all, is this woman a lawyer? I don't know. But she's not her own lawyer.
Yeah. How does she is just she a lawyer in this case? Head? Yeah.
Right. Like, Faye, you just going to counter sue? I'm not quite sure what she does here to put Harvey on the stand, but that's what she says. She has to do it. And so Harvey's response is, well, I was putting Mike Ross on the stand anyway, so let's make Mike Ross come up here and make Samantha look like she did something underhanded. We mm-hmm. don't prove anything, but we do need to insert some type of, cause for Faye to have fired him. And with Mike Ross having a perfect memory, which of course he has to say under oath, he then says, I do remember being a little angry with Samantha and about her potentially fabricating evidence.
Okay. Mike is eventually going to get the full story from Harvey.
Yeah, Harvey, he comes home and Harvey's sitting on the couch like, all right, I guess I should tell you what's going on. We're like, yes, this should have been the answer from jump. Mike Ross kept the biggest secret in the world from the entire world. He was a fraudulent lawyer at one of the biggest law firms in New York. And y'all kept it for at least 4 seasons. But this one lie is just something that you're like, I just can't tell you until it's too late. So he does go to Mike and tell him like, hey, we're up a creek, mm-hmm. I'm going to end up on the stand. And once I end up on the stand, if I'm not willing to perjure myself, then it's all over. And she's going to decimate this law firm. And she's even going to try if I perjure myself. So we really don't have a lot of wiggle room here. And so Mike finally burst in on Katrina. And I guess, was it Katrina and Alex? And he has a plan now too.
Okay. And so we end up with one last con to take down Faye. And so we have this moment where, Faye and Harvey get into it, and Harvey is like, hey, Faye, you have to sign this, like, basically say that you stop moving the goalposts. I want it in writing from you tomorrow. She's like, fine, write it up. I'll sign whatever you put in front of me. Okay. And they concoct this whole plan where then all the partners are there. Faye comes in, she looks at the piece of paper, she's like, all right, this all looks good. And then we have Mike and Samantha comes in and causes a whole scene where Samantha punches Harvey in the face. And in the melee, in the distraction, then Gretchen does the ultimate bait and switch.
The old switcheroo. The old switcheroony. Yeah, that's why we got Gretchen here. Her sleight of hand is amazing. Actually, when I watched that scene, you can see Gretchen doing the move. You see her like shuffling, kind of like, oh God.
Is she the Huel here? Or is she going to pull this off, this sleight of hand?
Yeah, exactly. But she does it because remember, we talked about the timing, right? Where people get arrested, where the cops walk in right on cue. It was like, Faye looks at it. She says, okay, this looks good. I'm preparing to sign it right now. And Mike Ross walks in. Not so fast. What's happening here? Did you try to get Katrina thrown off of the witness list? Mm-hmm. Faye, how dare you? And he's like, don't come in here. And Alex is like, you get your goddamn ass out of here. And then slap and then pow. Yeah. And then in the midst.
Poor Faye. She's like, what is with you people?
Why do y'all like this? Can y'all stop? It got to the point where when they finally like, ha, 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 Faye, you fell for the oldest trick in the book. Look at you. You signed away your rights here, and now Harvey can tamper with the witness, and he can get you thrown out of here. Now, what do you have to say? And Faye's finally done. She's like, I don't give a damn what y'all did. I'm going to use every ounce of my being to get Harvey up out of here. She called him a blight on the entire firm. Blight. I was like, what is a blight?
It's like a pirate word, I think.
Yeah, R. You know, the blight.
So, but Harvey has like a conversation with Faye, and we're not privy to what Harvey and Faye talked about. But I guess we find out later on that he told
Faye. But you knew what that was, right? You knew what that was, right?
You had some assumption of that, okay. Especially the fact that they were hiding it from us. And we didn't really get a goodbye from Faye. Faye wasn't at Lewis's wedding, right?
No, Faye definitely wasn't invited. Donna would have ran and drop kicked her from down the aisle. Yeah. There's no way they would let Faye within 100 miles of that wedding.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so Harvey comes in and it's all good. Everything's all set.
Yeah.
And that's like the Harvey. End of like the law of this episode.
Yeah. They come, Harvey, what happened? What did you say? What did you say to Faye? Like, what happened? Mm-hmm. No, I can't tell you. Well, no, tell me what happened. Nope, can't.
If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Yeah, they're like, okay, Harvey, but I'm thinking, y'all, we know how this goes. Anytime somebody has somebody dead to rights, they just go admit to what they did and then take the L and then just give the people what they want. They wanted somebody's, they wanted somebody's head for the mic thing. So Jessica Pearson went and did it. They wanted somebody's head later on. Robert Zane went and did it. And now it's Harvey's turn. This is, Harvey, this is all your fault. Let's be very clear.
Yeah.
All of this from Mike Ross to Robert Zane, Jessica, all the way up to Faye. This is your fault. You should have been took responsibility for this. We could have ended this show 4 seasons ago.
Yeah.
But here we are.
We didn't really track this, but at some point, like, this became like Mad Men, where people are just like having like tumblers of scotch, like, at all times.
Yeah, you know, Jessica did have her tea set, you know, but I always was suspicious that it wasn't tea. We've seen Harvey do a little drinking, but it is very much
like at
got
the
to
end
like,
of the day. It would be like, always like at night.
Yeah, like the little wet bar just on the corner of the desk. Even the last scene of the episode, Harvey takes, you know, he looks around to like, you know, everything's in slow motion. Effing Coldplay is playing in the background, and he takes one last sip of scotch and then slow motion walks out of the door. I was like, okay, it is Mad Men. It's a little Mad Men-esque. Is that what you think that was what they was going for? Because these shows were on around the same time.
No, I don't think that's what they were going for. I mean that Scotty was on Mad Men and they did like a shout out to that. I don't know if that's necessarily what they were going for, but it did get a little boozy towards the end.
Got a little boozy and also got very commercial because we've been talking about this a little bit, but maybe since like season 5, they've just been throwing in actual random pop hits. You know, at first it was just like a random song that no one's ever heard about here, random song. But, you know, it's like we got the gist of what it was. Then, you know, the heavy shows up. You got Coldplay in this episode. It's like, okay.
Oh, do you have Ed Sheeran in this episode too?
Yeah, Perfect by Ed Sheeran. They're slow dancing in the dark. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was shocked. But then I was like, oh, yeah, this is the new Suits. This is what we do here. I wonder what that direction was from the creator of the show to be like, okay, we had Suits, like Suits Diet, but then let's amp it up a little bit. Let's do commercial songs. Let's also do a lot more cursing, you know, a lot more F-bombs and, you know, and just really turn it up. But they turned down a lot of the pop references. We did get some pop culture references in this episode, though. They kind of brought them back and forced them into spots to kind of remind you where we came from.
Yeah. What do we got?
Lewis's daughter. Her name is Lucy, but it was going to be Enora from Bewitched. I'm assuming they went with Lucy from I Love Lucy. A very TV Land heavy moment. Mm-hmm. I think Faye says Harvey thinks he's Robin Hood, but he's really a blight. I was like, well, yeah. I mean, yeah,
there was a Samantha on Bewitched also.
There was a Samantha on Bewitched. I wonder what made them go with Enora. Well, I know why they didn't go with Enora, but you know, I wonder why that was even front of mind. But yeah, they do a couple references in here for old time's sake.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right, we go from the stuff with Faye. That's in the rearview mirror. And Lewis, wait, there's something I have to do. I just thought of something. I need to go ask Dr. Lipschitz if he'll officiate the wedding.
which was insane to me because
I know. Hold on. I'm going to be late to the celebration. I thought of something I have to do.
You know, I planned this wedding, but I definitely had not asked a person to officiate it yet. That's not something I did. The wedding is planned. It's about to happen. Do you think there was a time jump between the end of Faye and the beginning of the wedding?
I think there was probably a week or so.
Just a week?
You think so? Because Mike didn't go back to Seattle.
Yeah, but where's the baby shower that Harvey was supposed to throw? Remember, Gretchen? Oh, yeah. We put this in writing. I thought we skipped a lot of stuff. I'm assuming they had a baby shower if they knew the baby was due. Was it the next day?
Did we skip Lewis's bachelor party?
We didn't get nothing. Yeah. Sheila's bachelorette. I mean, you know, the gender reveal. You know, I don't know. I just feel like looking at it now, at first I was thinking these happened very quickly in succession because Mike Ross was still there. But now thinking about what they would have had to do to prep for said wedding and the fact that Lewis is just asking Dr. Lipschitz to officiate the wedding, it couldn't have been a week later. Yeah. Like, there's no way that man put
Faye
you on his schedule.
Faye canceled it. Faye hates baby showers.
Yeah, she's like, boo, no, Harvey. That's one. That put that in the clause. When you step down, you make sure that you're not doing Lewis's baby shower.
Yeah. Okay, so then we get Dr. Lipschitz. He says he'll officiate the wedding, but he's not going to be Lewis's therapist anymore. Lewis has graduated from therapy.
No, Lewis has graduated from Dr. Lipschitz. He gets another therapist very soon because he is still a broken human and he needs help. Dr. Lipschitz has always been the most professional person on the show. He tells Lewis, you know, if I officiate your wedding, I cannot be your therapist. And he's just like, oh, okay, that's fine. I broke up a fight between Harvey and Katrina. He said, I calmed Harvey down after he yelled at Katrina. So, you know, I don't really need you per se. I still need therapy, but I'd rather have you as a friend. And to that, I'm like, Dr. Lipschitz, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. Mm-hmm. You don't. I think maybe he has a little bit more freedom from Lewis if he's Lewis's friend and not his therapist. You know, he feels like he's required to answer the phone as a therapist. I think you can sleep in a couple times if you're his friend.
You could send it to voicemail.
Yeah, or something. Or just take a voice note or something. But yeah, you don't have to deal with all of Lewis's, manic moments that he has.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we get Lewis. He's at the wedding. He's wearing what would you call this tuxedo that Lewis has?
He's wearing a morning coat. Yeah, he's wearing a morning coat. It's very British. Very, very British. He looks like Oswald Cobblepot III. Mm-hmm. It got a monocle and a top hat as well. Very much the Penguin. He was giving those vibes. I didn't hate the look. I just don't think it's uniform if one person looks like a Batman villain and Harvey shows up in a regular tuxedo.
Yeah, well, that's why Lewis was mad.
I would have been annoyed too. Like, what did we plan the wedding for if you weren't going to be uniform? It's not like he has a lot of groomsmen. It's just Harvey.
Yeah. Does Lewis not have any other friends? Where's that judge guy?
Lewis doesn't have any other friends. That's your answer. That's it. I mean, Mike Ross was there. You see, he wasn't one of the groomsmen. You know?
Yeah, he didn't raid enough.
Does Sheila not have any friends? Mm-hmm. It was a very intimate wedding for somebody, like for this super rich couple, because both of them are probably loaded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a little bit of would you call this a jab or a nod to Rachel Zane departing the show when Harvey says to Lewis, are you wearing a morning coat? Lewis, you're not the Prince of England.
Did Prince Harry wear a morning coat? I don't think he did in the wedding. I don't know.
But he is the Prince of England.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, but
When they went to the royal wedding, I feel like that's like what Rick Hoffman was wearing.
Well, let's find out. Let's look at okay, I'm looking at the wedding pics. It's basically a morning coat. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not the same exact outfit. He doesn't have the striped tie. Like, he was very much giving Oswald Cobblepot at his wedding. But at the royal wedding, yeah, he's got the British look. But I think that was the time and place for it. You know, I just don't think that Harvey was dressed for the Lewis occasion. Now, Harvey at the royal wedding was sharp, okay? Very, very British. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He should have wore that.
Yeah. Okay, so we have the wedding and we exchange the vows, but Sheila's water broke.
And it's like, Lewis, my water broke. Oh, okay. Well, luckily I'm Lewis and I'm completely composed and I'm normal right now. So I have the ambulance already set up. So why don't we just step out? Hey, y'all, we're going to go. Y'all continue to party. We're just about to leave. Okay. I do. He takes her out. Sheila's normal. He's normal. Is the ambulance right here? Oh, Lewis, you're my hero. And then they get in the ambulance and then Sheila turns into someone who is in labor. She's like, whoa, what the hell is going on? This hurts. Lewis, stick a fork in your eye so you can feel the pain that I feel because I'm dying right now.
Yeah.
And then we get a little bit of more like an authentic moment probably between the two of them. Because for a second, I thought this is going very smooth.
Well, in fairness to Sheila, then it sounds like that things were going wrong. And when she gets to the hospital, that there's some complications happening.
Oh, yeah. Immediately when they get to the hospital, they're like, we already have, like, we don't have a room booked. And he's like, oh, we don't. He's like, well, I already called ahead to book the OR. And they're like, yeah, well, also, she's having complications. We need you to sign off on some things. So we have to shift, swoop her off the emergency room or whatever.
We don't have a room for her. I felt like it was maybe like one extra thing that they didn't need in this. There was already a lot going on of like, she's in labor and there's complications and we don't have a hospital room for her. Like, I don't know if that was like they didn't have that set or what, but we could have just gone into like there's complications. We need to operate.
Yeah, I mean, it was like we don't have a room for her. Like we didn't have a normal delivery room for her. But if she has complications, we could take her to the operating room immediately. Mm-hmm. And so they're like. So I think that's what the show throws in there. So people are like, why did you make him go to this trauma randomly? Mm-hmm. You know, and they're like, well, we couldn't get a hospital room set. So, we had to go to the OR. And so they swoop her off. And it is a very tense moment. I will say this, as many complaints as I might have about the finale, I will say that there were some very tender moments, especially starting with Lewis and in the wake of, you know, Sheila giving birth.
So back at the wedding, Donna and Harvey and Mike Ross are hanging out like, oh, this is like kind of weird. It doesn't feel like a wedding because the bride and the groom aren't here. Like, it is weird that everybody's stuck around. I guess that it's like, well, hey, the food is still here. So open bar, hang out.
Yeah, Harvey, Mike Ross is kind of just like, so Harvey, you talked to Lewis. He's like, do you think I called Lewis while his wife is in labor and having life-saving surgery? Are you serious? And Donna's like, please, Harvey, we're all stressed. Leave him alone. I was like, it's not that big of a deal, Donna. But yeah, everybody's stressed out. They don't really know what to do with their hands. They've already planned their whole day at this function. So nobody leaves. They enjoyed the food, the hors d'oeuvres, I guess. The reception, if you will, because why not? And then Harvey and Donna kind of come to the conclusion that maybe we should just go ahead and do this. Maybe we should go ahead and lock this down.
Yeah.
At first, Harvey didn't sound interested in getting married. He's like, don't think we're ever going to do this, Donna. This is not happening anytime soon for you. And then 30 minutes later, he's like, okay, well, we can do
then this. Sheila having the baby was like, I changed things. And so he's like, let's do it right here, right now. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Donna, like, will you marry me? Will you marry me? Right now, could we hijack this empty wedding?
Yeah. And he's like, okay. You know, Donna Roberta Paulson. She's like, I mean,
Harvey's like, do you people want to see a wedding or what? Come on, let's go. And the crowd.
And it's it's a tepid response. People are like, and who is that again? That's the best man? And his secretary? No, it's a COO. Oh, okay. Is that Donna? Oh, wow. We've never
Lewis's
seen
family
her
knows
before.
Who Harvey is.
Yeah, Lewis has definitely had no choice but to know. Where was Esther? Was she in the crowd? Did we miss her?
So it looked like Esther was in the credits. I didn't spot Esther, but she was in the credits for this episode.
Okay, I'm going to watch it back to see her. But yeah, Esther was the one who laced everybody up on who Donna was. She's like, hey, y'all, Donna's good. She's good. She's good people. This is we support this wedding. But of course, Donna's like, Harvey, oh my God, our family's not here. I don't have a dress. I don't. What am I supposed to do? And he's like, Donna, stop. You don't need anything like that. And she's like, but we don't have any rings. He's like, I'll find a ring for me. And I have this heirloom from the 40s.
Yeah.
Would you like my grandmother's ring?
She didn't like say anything bad about it.
No, she was like, oh my God, of course, Harvey. This is exactly what I wanted. A ring. This ring. This ring right here. This is the perfect ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she was genuinely happy about it.
Yeah. All right. So that we got this other wedding going on and we have the drama going on at the hospital, but it all works out that they bring in Lewis's baby.
Lucy. We meet Lucy. We did not know what the baby's name is going to be. We saw Lewis preparing to name the baby Linus, Linus Vaginus or something like that. But I don't think he had considered what the name would be if it was a girl. And so, yeah, here we are. Baby Lucy is here, not named after the villain from Bewitched.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And meanwhile, we have the nice wedding ceremony for Harvey and Donna.
Yeah, we had to give them a little time to write their vows because they just didn't have any. I'm thinking, are vows that important if you are having a spontaneous, spur-of-the-moment wedding?
Yeah.
But I guess they just really needed to go sit down somewhere and just type some things up real quick. And so later on, yeah, they get to talk about, you know, the things that make them whole. And I think Harvey tells Donna, you know, like, I've always been able to count on you when the chips are down, but when you're with me, the chips are always up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, Harvey, that's a bar. That was kind of, he kind of did that. He ate that a little bit, just a little bit. He chewed.
He had that in his back pocket. Yeah.
He'd been saving that one for a while. I mean, him and Donna have basically been common law married for at least 12 years.
Are you disappointed we didn't get the can opener reveal?
Well, we had the can opener. We didn't really even make reference to it, but they did mention the can opener in last episode.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, Harvey, you want to get the can opener? How about you just practice your speech on me? Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Yeah.
I think that's another probably thread that I hate that we lost from the original Suits run. Like, if you look at Suits season 9 as one movie, right? Let's just say they condensed all this drama into one movie. It feels like an addition to, you know, and they're like making winks and nods back at the normal storyline that we had in the first 8 seasons. Because even the can opener was just something that we kind of just let go of. I mean, me and you have had deep conversations about what kinky shit is going on with this can opener, and we never got
an
answer.
But I felt like from pretty early on, like, we're never getting the can. They're never explaining the can opener.
Right, but they were at least breadcrumbing us with the can opener. By the end, it was like...
They dropped it for a while.
Yeah, it was like, y'all don't remember the can opener things? Like, no. I mean, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, so... I don't know. No can opener mentioned here. Maybe we get can opener in Pearson.
Maybe they explain it in Pearson to get people to watch, to go see the backstory of the can opener. Yeah. So, we have the whole, you know, the wedding saga going on. And then we get Harvey and Donna. Ultimately, they're going to leave. They go to the hospital. Lewis has the baby. And, Donna and Harvey tell Lewis they're leaving.
They got married, and Lewis, I'd already heard, of course, someone had texted Lewis and told him. And he's like, oh yeah, you congratulations, y'all got married. And they're like, yeah, but we also talked it over and we're leaving the firm to go to Seattle to work with Mike and Rachel. And so Lewis is, of course, upset about that at first, because Donna always told Lewis, I would never leave you. But she says, no, I mean, I would never leave you if you needed me. And you don't need us anymore.
That's
you
have some Samantha. Fine print, Donna.
She definitely flipped the script on that one. You want to talk about moving the goalposts? Donna is the queen. Because she's like, no, I meant I wouldn't leave you until I was ready to leave you. And so she did. And Harvey's argument is that, you know, it's not that he wants to go play in the B leagues with Mike. He just that he likes crossing lines. He likes playing in the gray. But what Mike showed him is that he wants to do it for the good guys instead of for, you know, the corporate big wigs that he's been doing it for in the past. And so, yeah, this is what they're going to do. They're going to go live in Seattle and work at Mike and Rachel's clinic.
Does this feel to you like this is sort of consistent with Harvey's character that we got to know over 134 episodes?
No, I think that the show really tried to force us to believe that Harvey's biggest driving factor is that he likes to play in the gray. And like, that's what it is. I like to play in the gray. Where can I go to play in the gray and still feel good about myself? It would be doing these good for others at a clinic like that, working with Mike and Rachel, who I love dearly. Okay, fine. But that's not the Harvey we got to know. The Harvey we met was, I'm Harvey and I like to win. I like to win. I like to win. I like to win, and I win because I'm Harvey and Harvey. That's all I do is win, no matter what, you know? And so it's like they're parallel, but they're not the same. You know, it's like, had Harvey been like, I like to win and I only want to win for the good guys, then boom, that would have felt more true.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I like to cheat. And if I'm going to be cheating, I need to be cheating in the name of Mike Ross, you know?
Yeah, honestly, like, I kind of feel like that if it was where Harvey is like, you know what, Mike, you inspired me. Like, I'm starting mm-hmm. my own shop that's going to be, you know, I'm starting my own clinic that's going to be like, we're going to save the world and we're going to do right for the little guy. And like, forget about Seattle, Mike. Come home. Like, let's like come work at my clinic. Like, I almost feel like that. But Harvey, who is always like the alpha, has to be in charge, like has to win all the time. Like that he would go work for Mike, like in Seattle, of all places, like where it's all, everything was like New York, the big city. Mm-hmm. Mike, you're going to move to, I forget where he was going to send Mike off to. Like, this is New York, the biggest like stage.
Indiana. Yeah.
Yeah. That part doesn't really ring true for me in terms of like what we learned about Harvey over 9 seasons.
Big agree. Even Harvey going to work for someone in general. Harvey has never wanted to work for anybody. He barely wanted to work for Jessica. He wanted to work with Jessica. So for him to be like, oh yeah, I'm about to go join Mike's practice as Mike's senior associate, I guess Michael's probably just make him name partner out of the blue. I don't really know what happens there, but Mike's in charge. And that is not something that we've ever known Harvey to be okay with. I don't even know what that looks like. Harvey showing up to work and Mike being like, God damn it, Harvey, I told you to go run these numbers past the clinic. And like, oh, okay. You know, that's just not going to last long. I don't see Harvey retiring from the clinic with Mike Ross. He won't be there for more than a year.
Even if it was like Harvey was like, hey, I'm moving to Boston to be close to Marcus and Mike inspired me and I'm going to do my own thing in Boston. And also like, you know, Donna's coming with me. And, you know, like it feels like that even seems like a little bit more of like Harvey would reconnect with his real family that he did not, you know, keep in touch with after all these years. I don't know.
Yeah, it is very odd that Harvey, who felt like he spent so much time away from his real family, including Marcus and Marcus's kids, decides that, you know, his big moment will be to leave and get further away from Marcus and Marcus's kids.
Especially
right after
his mom died. Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's like very odd choice. I agree with you on that one. That feels a little bit more true to Harvey. But I think, is there a world where this is fan service, Rob? Were people just really clamoring for the Mike and Harvey reunion? Was the Mike and Harvey bromance something that was really missing from the show's magic that we just had to happen for it to really feel like the show had like bookends, you know?
Yeah, I think it had to happen to have Mike back for the, but maybe like, I just kind of feel like that Mike could have changed the trajectory of Harvey's life and he didn't have to necessarily go and then be Mike's partner.
Yeah. Does Harvey get disbarred in New York? Is that why he has to leave?
I don't know. Unclear.
Because remember, he does, you know, he does give Faye what she wants in the end, and he leaves the firm. He doesn't say whether or not he still has his license, but we know Faye has wanted Harvey out of the legal profession.
I think he told Faye that he would leave the city and leave the firm. I think that was good enough. I don't think that he got disbarred.
Yeah, so he had to at least get out of New York. I just think the show could have just like nodded at that a little bit more. That it wasn't just Harvey like, I think I'm going to leave the firm and also fly across the country to go live in Seattle of all places. Mm-hmm. You know, it just doesn't give a lot of, like, it doesn't give Harvey vibes.
Okay, what about all of the endings that we got from Donna and Harvey in the office to Mike and Harvey basically retelling their first meetup?
Yeah, Mike and Harvey's first meetup, Mike bursts into the office with a briefcase full of weed and says, okay, you want to talk about the law? Ask me anything. And he, you know, grabs the little book and Harvey's like, I don't, let's do it. Let's ask you some questions. And Mike proves in that moment that he will be a formidable ally for Harvey. Now, Harvey does not have Mike's memory. So when Mike pulls out the book, he says, you could have kept that. I'm not answering any questions for you. I probably don't know the answers. But at the same time, you know, I don't think you really have to audition for a role with Mike Ross. It was a fun callback for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Chappelle, we have so many questions from the listeners. I want to get to them all here. But first, let's give out the final Liddy Award of the run.
Okay. Before we give out the final Liddy Award, we do have a little bit of feedback about the Liddy. This is on our suitspodcast.com. We got a 5-star review from Liddy, L-I-D-D-Y.
Yeah.
Says, thank you for taking us on this ride. It's been amazing. I rewatched Suits over the springs last summer last year after it became available on German Netflix and was kind of sad that I could not find a podcast to go along with it. Imagine my delight when you announced Suits yourself. Even though it had been a few months since I watched the show, following along with you guys has been the highlight of my day so many times. My fiance has had to listen to me laugh at your jokes while getting ready for bed every night. I will never listen to someone say he's gone or she's gone without hearing it in your voice. Thank you for keeping us entertained. Can't wait to see what you do next. Liddy, P.S. Thank you also for naming the MVP award the Liddy, because it was truly funny to hear you say who is getting the Liddy this week when it sounds so similar to my actual name. So yeah. Thank you, Liddy, for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. To give the final Liddy away, I think we have to dedicate this one to Liddy.
To Liddy.
Liddy, yeah. In Germany. that's a good call.
Yeah.
So, Rob, who gets the Liddy?
I think the final one goes to Harvey.
No. He moved to Seattle.
Who, Katrina? You give it to Katrina?
I think, okay. If I'm being sincere, I think Harvey gets the Liddy. However, I think Harvey uprooting his life to go from being a corporate lawyer to working at a clinic in Seattle is...
Mm-hmm.
I think if this is not the finale, he does not get the Liddy.
But he does ultimately get Faye to call off the dogs. Like, I feel like you could give it to Katrina. She did, like, have a big role in that. But Harvey is the one who finally does, like, vanquish Faye. Give her what she wants to go away.
Okay. Counterpoint. Does Lewis get the final Liddy? That his name, it is named after him. He gets a baby, he gets a wife, and he is the managing name partner of the firm that he's loved his entire life. Rob... Take it from Lewis if you want to, but I'm sorry. This is my counteroffer.
I mean, Harvey got married too.
Yeah, but he also moved to Seattle and he lost his license in New York. That's where I choose to believe. He lost his license in New York. He's disbarred. He lost the firm that he fought so hard to keep. He gave Faye what she wanted.
Okay. All right. Lewis can get the final Liddy. That gives Lewis, I like that it gets Lewis to 20 Liddies overall.
20 Liddy.
20 Liddies for Lewis. Harvey ultimately is the Suits champion with 29 Liddies overall. Mike, he has 20. So Lewis ties Mike Ross for second place. I'm sorry, Jessica has second place all time. Lewis ties Mike Ross for third place.
That feels like right. That doesn't feel like right.
And
to
Donna
you?
And Rachel tied with 14.
See, Lewis deserved this Liddy because, I mean, he took no L's, and I would argue that Harvey took a bunch of L's. a bunch of them.
Yeah.
He did. Okay. He does go to a recreational state, though. So that's kind of nice.
Okay. So there you go. Those are the final counts on the Liddies. And thank you to Patty for all of her work along the way.
Queen Patty. I mean, Queen Patty, senior partner. She's like the Katrina Bennett of this podcast. You know, mm-hmm. She's just been holding us down for so long that we finally have to, you know, she just give her things.
Yeah.
She deserves it.
And thank you to Patty for compiling. We now know that Suits had 697 goddams,
goddamn,
721 bullshits, 480 folders slammed, 256 references that Mike didn't go to Harvard, 32 different hookups for Harvey and Mike, 442 pop culture references, and 105 F-bombs.
Man, again, Patty, you have done some tireless work for us. I'm so happy to... Can Patty get the Liddy for this podcast?
Yes, we're not worthy. Get the Liddy? We're not worthy.
Yeah, okay. Patty, you get the Liddy too here.
All right.
You deserved.
Here we go. So a lot of feedback for episode number 10. Jessica Frey says, the parallels to episode 1 are beautiful. In episode 1, Donna jokes about being married to Harvey, for example. Lewis was a big winner and got his happy family and as a professional winner. I also think in the bigger picture and theme of Suits is the story of Harvey. Mike comes and goes, but the story of Suits is Harvey's story. He has such a beautiful character arc where he starts out not caring about anyone, thinking back to Jessica saying in the pilot that she wants Harvey to care about people. Skip to the end of the series and he self-sacrifices for the firm. He chooses love and finds a family, especially after reconnecting with his mom. We literally watch Harvey heal himself and become a complete human. I feel complete watching Harvey's arc, but I still want more.
I agree with Jessica Frey. I think that the tender moments in this episode really let you see the humanity in Harvey that we just didn't see in those early days. Harvey was so one-dimensional. He just liked to win. That's it. And so by the end of this, we see Harvey doing things that the old Harvey just wouldn't do. He's not giving up his firm for Lewis. Of all people, for Lewis, no, it's not happening. And, you know, he definitely not admitting that he has feelings for Donna, even though it's been blatantly obvious since maybe like episode 3. You know, so I think that, like I said, all complaints aside, I think that Harvey as a character is fully fleshed out by the end of this. There might be some inconsistencies with how Harvey developed into this character, but I think that this is not the same Harvey. And if he can keep the same skills he had from season 1, but add a little bit of the heart that he's gained over the years via Mike Ross and his relationships with all the rest of the people at the law firm, Harvey is a superhero moving forward. And so, yeah, more Harvey content would be so nice because then we get to see a fully formed Harvey. And we hadn't got that up until now.
Katrina Stood Up asks us, is the podcast moving to Seattle?
Again, the recreational state.
Nolan Lance says, it took until the tail end of this goddamn show to move me to tears, but it finally happened. So sad that it's over. The double wedding was pretty weird, but other than that, I was very satisfied with the ending of the show. Would love to see a season 10 with the Lit Wheeler Williams Bennett bunch. Nevertheless, you guys did fantastic. Thank you for such incredible and hilarious coverage throughout the whole series, especially through the abysmal season 6. Y'all did the thing. To quote Harvey Specter, the only time success comes before work is in the dictionary. Congrats to you two. Congrats to you, Nolan, who's also binging Renap right now. How'd you fit it all in?
Nolan's good. You know, we've had a lot of associates that like have really just come in and really helped push us through this podcast. I don't think we have a lot of the content that we have. We don't get to talk through some of these questions that we've gotten from people like Nolan, like Ash, like David, like Anessa, you know, like Jessica Frey. There's so many people who've just been contributing throughout. And we have to say thank you as well to that. But yeah, there were so many tender moments. I mean, Lewis, I think Lewis's acting is really what, something is going to tug at your heartstrings. I really do think Lewis looking at Sheila as, you know, his wife, knowing how far we've come from the heartbreak that Lewis dealt with dealing with Sheila, how he dealt with, you know, grieving that loss. And now to be able to stare into the eyes of his young baby and, you know, be a fully formed Lewis Litt who doesn't need, you know, Dr. Lipschitz on call every second of the day, who's able to lose Harvey and Donna without completely falling apart. I think those moments are why you can get emotional in this episode, despite it being a 9-season arc to get here.
Chappelle, Colleen has a question. Halfway through the finale, but are they in court 5 minutes a day? It takes 3 or more days to get through this trial. It's not like we aren't seeing it at all. It's not that complicated. Mike testifies and then they adjourn for the day. Make it make sense. I'm sure it'll be back with more. Good day.
Nah, I'm with Colleen. This trial here is, like I said, it's already a circus. It was very funny in this episode when, well, there in this episode, there's a moment where Harvey's bringing Mike up to the stand. He's like, Mike, I want to call you to the stand. Mike's like, I can't go on the stand. I'm her lawyer. And he's like, but you weren't her lawyer when all this stuff happened. And Mike's like, yeah, but I still don't got to go up there. What are you talking about? Harvey's like, you know, this only happens because she fabricated evidence to beat you. And then the judge goes, is that true? And he's like, yeah. He's like, get your ass up on the stand. You know, like, I really feel like there was a lot of this where the judge should have just been like, I'm going home. You know, we really don't have to do this. Figure it out amongst yourself. And they really do. I think that was the last time they stepped foot in court before it's all said and done. And they just run Faye out of town.
Okay. Andrew has some questions. Okay. Number one, why out of anybody at this wedding did Lewis call Robert Zane to tell him he had the baby?
Robert Zane, he was in this episode for what reason?
I think they had to bring him back for the finale.
Was he at the wedding?
He was at the wedding. Yeah, he said that he got the call from Lewis that he had a girl.
Oh, yeah, that was him. He was just like, oh, yeah, it was
Lewis
me.
Called
y'all,
me. Yeah.
All the people.
Yeah.
All the people. I got the text message. It was.
Maybe
it,
he's the only person that had service. Yeah.
Yeah, but Robert Zane never mentioned his daughter. Matter of fact, he hasn't mentioned his daughter.
He said he was going to visit her at one point.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if he'll go visit now that Harvey and Donna live across the world.
Did Robert Zane have a date? Did he?
Where's Laura?
Yeah. Was she there?
What's going on here?
They couldn't get her.
Also, Jessica? You didn't want to come to the wedding?
I guess we got to watch Pearson to see what she was up to.
She better be booked and busy.
She might have been captured.
Oh, yeah. I forgot she's working for the man. In Chicago, the mean streets of Chicago, where things are gritty and scary, you know?
Yep. Okay. Then, number two, why wasn't Lewis's dear friend Brian at the wedding?
Who?
Number three, why did all of Lewis and Sheila's family celebrate Harvey and Donna taking over the wedding? Why didn't Esther tell them that this was a horrible idea?
Esther was like, I mean, Lewis would want them to have the wedding. And that is true. If Lewis probably, they probably text Lewis and say, hey, can we just use all this stuff? And Lewis, yeah, whatever. I don't care. It's Harvey and Donna. Do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, so they had the blessing of the family, I'm sure.
All right. Number four, how quickly will Harvey and Donna leave Seattle to come back to New York? Has Donna ever been to Seattle?
Look, I don't know. I don't even know if Harvey's been to Seattle. I do know that when Harvey walks out after taking his last sip of scotch, it felt like it was going to be the last time he ever walked out of those offices. But all his stuff was still in there.
Were they moving tomorrow? Like, I don't know.
Do rich people not move their own things? They just like, I'll send somebody to pack it up.
How's that record collection getting to Seattle? Are we getting like a pod?
The basketball collections as well. Like, I mean, is Harvey about to come box all this stuff up? Are they grabbing the newspapers and wrapping up all these glasses? For me, moving is always tedious. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Like, there's paintings. Like, it seems like.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It feels like, Harvey's going to pay somebody to ship this out.
And what's going on with Mike Ross's apartment that Harvey is paying for?
I think it's time to let that one go.
Is he just going to keep his place in New York? So they have some place. I think they're going to. I don't know if they're really going to move. Maybe he's going to work remote. COVID's about to happen, Chappelle.
You're right.
It's September 2019.
Okay. What if Pearson starts in the age of COVID? You know, so like when we come in on the pilot, they got masks on.
I know, but it aired at the same time as this.
Oh, yeah. So it can't be COVID and Pearson and not COVID here.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we didn't get a season two of Pearson. Right?
Only COVID's going to hit. Mike Ross is closing the office. Everybody's going to work remotely. Like, you think Harvey's going to sit in his home in Seattle and work remotely? Like, forget it. Come on.
Mm-mm. No, it's not happening. Stop it.
Yeah. All right. And then number five, is the whole series actually just showing Katrina's journey? Was she the main character all along?
No. But you know what? But Katrina has been around for a very, very long time. I think she first pops up in season one. She's been in every season of the show. And you cannot say that about a lot of the bigger characters in this show. Like, I mean, Dulé Hill shows up in the final run of the show. Samantha shows up in the final run of the show. Katherine Heigl, you know. So Robert Zane has been around and Katrina have been around probably around the same amount of time. So I think that they've probably done a disservice to Katrina for us to not feel more connected to her in these final moments.
Okay. And then one more email. Okay. This is an anonymous email, but it's a good one. Okay. Not sure what you guys think about it, but I'm sending this more than a week before the finale. Okay. I know you have to let them take some kind of liberties, but let's be real. It's been like this since the beginning. I'm from Brazil, so I like the soapy ending with the big bad of the season being resolved in the first half and the rest being about the weddings and the birthdays. Okay. Is it a birthday when it's a 0th birthday?
Oh, the birth. It's the birthday.
Yes.
You know, the not birthday. A birthday.
Yeah.
The birth space day. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that the last scene is Harvey thanking Donna for everything. I'm not sure about them moving to Seattle, but I love the fan service of them recreating the Mike and Harvey first scene.
See?
Not sure why they tried to dramatize Lucy's birthday like that. Fun fact, that's the name of Aaron Korsh's daughter, but I love Donna and Harvey both saying goodbye to Lewis.
Okay.
And sometimes you can see that it's more about the actors saying goodbye to their characters than to each other than anything else.
Okay.
I wish there was a scene with Jessica, and apparently there was supposed to be at least a phone call between her and Harvey after Lily's funeral, but that didn't happen because of scheduling issues, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I loved going on this ride with you guys. I didn't know about the podcast before you started to talk about Suits, and I hope you enjoyed it too. I'm sure doing it daily had its challenges, but us listeners love it, and I guarantee you'll never listen to Viva La Vida and not think about Suits again. The soundtrack was always one of their strengths.
I agree. I think that if nothing else, Viva La Vida has a new meaning for me. You know, like I said, I will remember this slow motion exit with Suits because, again, I think that a lot of, they didn't really use a lot of like the big pop hits early on.
It was rare.
And then when they start sprinkling, but when they sprinkle them in, it's memorable. And so I think that that being the final song, kind of like, okay, yeah, I'm going to hear it and I'm going to see like teary eyed Harvey saying goodbye to Donna. Thank you. And Donna saying goodbye to Harvey. You make me laugh. You make me cry. You make me crazy. But most of all, you make me happy. And I think this show has done all of that and more.
Yeah. Chappelle, you and I have said we would see what we're going to do next. Mm-hmm. And we have 10 episodes of Pearson that we can look at.
Yeah.
We can't let this go yet, right?
Not yet. We have to figure out. We got to do the Pearson thing. I've seen a couple people in the Facebook group being like, so now what? I heard Pearson isn't great. I heard Pearson only has. And I'm like, y'all, it's 10 episodes,
probably
y'all.
Not. But it's not about Pearson. It's about, as Suits has taught us, it's not about what we do. It's about being together and the friends we made along the way.
That part. And so the Suits spinoff Pearson is next. I think it's 10 episodes, 10 weeks. I think y'all can stick around for that. If y'all have managed to stick around for this, then come on, y'all. Come on, let's just knock out Pearson and see what happens.
Yeah. And then let's also, Sam, open up the feedback form for Pearson. And we can take feedback about Suits as it comes in. Well, that this the feedback form is still open. So if people want to still send us in feedback about all this, we'll continue to answer it. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah, Sam can post almost like he can clear all the old stuff that we've already read. And then like, you know, anything we get new, any updated feedback from whatever season, we can talk about it.
Of course, we'll continue to be in the Facebook group, suitspodcast.com/Facebook. We cannot say thank you enough to all the people that came with us on this crazy journey of 134 episodes and podcasts that you all listen to.
Mm-hmm. This has been amazing. We've done all the podcasts. We've, of course, we've given you all a break for the holidays and things of that nature. But Rob and I, we set out to accomplish a goal of talking about Suits and having a Suits podcast about out daily. And it has been a big effort on Rob's part. And so I will say thank you to Rob, first and foremost, for allowing me to come on this journey and being so flexible with your complicated schedule to make this happen. It's been a joy to be a part of this. And it has been a great time to watch people's feedback from listening to it. So I could not have traded this for the world.
Well, and I thank you, Chappelle. There's nobody else I would have wanted to go on this journey with. Had I done this with anybody else, it would not have been as fun. So I thank you for all of your amazing takes and all of your humor. You kept us all laughing throughout the whole process. And I always will appreciate this time that we spent together.
Thank you. Thank you. This has been great, Rob. I have nothing else. My heart is full right now, and I'm ready to see what's next for us.
Chappelle, where can people follow you beyond Suits?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter @Chappelle's_show, or follow me on Instagram @ChappelleTNT. I'm a podcaster. I talk about other shows, y'all. If you have listened to this and you don't know me from our Rob Has a Podcast, get familiar. Get familiar with the Rob Has a Podcast coverage and the post-show recaps coverage where you find me the most. Keep up with all of the other shows we talk to. We don't really do a lot of plugs here, but I mean, this is the last episode of Suits, so here we are. And then, of course, if you have any feedback for me, you can just DM it to me or tweet me directly at Chappelle's_show.
All right. I'm at Rob Cesternino. Thank you all so much for joining us on this wild ride. And we'll be back next week for episode one of Pearson, the Pearson premiere, coming up here. Thank you so much. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Peace.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.